Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we also have anticipation. We want to see where our teams are going to be by the end of the year. And there's simply no better place to catch all the football action than Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. You walk in, the energy hits. You have wall-to-wall screens. You'll have 15 HD TVs to be exact. And you can get them tuned to whatever you want. You're going to make some friends because you're going to have some bets locked in with your best friends next to you that you've never met. It's just a great place to be. The seating there, I'm telling you, it's more comfortable than what you have in your living room. It's plush. It's beautiful. Whether you're all in your favorite team or just love the thrill of big matchups in the sport of football, this is a spot to feel every play, every score, every win. Grab a seat, catch the games, place an order from their game day food menu. And you know where they get their food from, George? You know where they're getting their food from on their game day menu? From Guy Fieri's restaurant.
Woo!
You can't beat that. The Food Network legend. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I still watch it to this day, but it's simply game day done right, folks. Whoever you're rooting for, watch a game in comfort and style at Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. Enjoy a full-service sports betting experience. They have in-game wagering, they have staff betting windows, and they have 10 self-betting kiosks, so you're going to be able to lock in the bet of your choice whenever. It's the ultimate in football viewing experiences. If you want to get into the games, get in on the action, you need to get into Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. We'll see you on the weekend. Must be 21 or older to gamble. No one to stop before you start gambling. Problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, now David Cobb is scheduled to join the show on the other side, so let's go ahead and get to him. We have some college football, some week three to get to. Stick around. David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer at CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday right here at 5 o'clock on the Gabe Kuhn Show. David, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going all right. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I'm doing all right. I'm celebrating a brother-in-law's birthday tonight. Getting some nice takeout, Venice Kitchen. We're going to have some nice little desserts on hand. So I'm looking forward to that tonight.
I heard Myers is crawling, so congratulations
on that.
That's big.
Yeah. There's a blessing and a curse to that. He's a little hellion already. It's been 2 days of him like fully crawling on all fours. And today we had a toilet scare and we had a wine rack scare. So that's just how I think that's just how it works. And we have childproofed the home. You know, we have the little plastic things on the corners of all of our tables so he doesn't hit his head on the sharp corners. Things like that, but there's only so much you can do. We have the baby gate, so you can't climb up and then fall down. That would be a disaster. So, it's a blessing. It's great, but your eyes have to be a little bit more open. I'm sure you've had to experience that.
Well, I was going to ask, send me your tips, because Rosie is very mobile. However, she refuses to actually go. Like, she'll get on her hands and knees and act like she's going to crawl, but then she doesn't. And then she just starts army crawling. That's what she does.
You
she
know,
army crawls.
What I – this is such a weird tip, okay? But hear me out. To get him to, like, get on all fours and start crawling, because he did that army crawl for a while, put your foot out in front of her and she'll like chase it. That's my experience. That sounds so weird, but somebody told me that and I did it and he started crawling within a couple of weeks.
Okay.
It sounds very strange, but it works.
There's a lot of things about parenting that are strange. Like there's just things that I do and say, and it's sort of like the insurance commercials, you know, where it's like, I'm becoming my parents and all that. And it's it's a reality check.
All right, You have published your quarterback power rankings 1 through 50. This is the third week of doing it. Let me know sort of the highlights. I know John Mateer at 1 after his performance against Michigan, but let me know the highlights and what you were thinking when putting it together this week.
Well, obviously, I wanted to put John Mateer at 1 just to upset you because I know you're a hater.
Okay, wait. Hater is a strong word. It's a strong word. I just, you know, I didn't buy into the hype like everyone else did. But he's done a number on me. I believe in it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we will be pleased to know that I have Dante Moore at 15. So that is a
long. Can we give him a round of applause? Round of applause. 69-3 win over Oklahoma State. Now we're Dante Moore, believe. Gotta love it.
Yeah, so he was at 30. He's now up at 15. He looks really good. Still would want to see it against better competition. I think people will also be fascinated to know that Arch Manning remains outside the top 50. A decent performance against San Jose State is not enough for me to completely flush what I saw against Ohio State in week one. So to me, Arch still has work to do to get his way back into this thing. So that's, I would say, the top highlights. Maybe one more. Bo Pribula went from unranked to number 8. He was really good for Missouri against Kansas, and I think it's kind of made me rethink what Missouri could be. Maybe Missouri could be pretty good because Bo Pribula in that offense, they looked phenomenal against Kansas the other day.
I'm glad you bring up, like, okay, maybe Missouri's a player in the SEC, because I had a conversation yesterday, and it's sort of a reality check with George. Here in studio, George has been in studio. Say hi to George. Past couple of days, George, you can say hi as well.
Cobb, we'll have you on tomorrow.
Yeah, hey, George.
We'll see. How's it going? Don't worry.
George and I talk frequently. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. But I think the real sort of conclusion we drew is that in the SEC, no one knows which way is up right now. Who's going to separate themselves? What are these teams? Who is truly a national title contender? Who's going to be there at the end? I guess that this weekend could be a nice little test. You have A&M visiting Notre Dame. You have Arkansas Ole Miss. We'll get to see both of those quarterbacks, Austin Simmons and Taylen Green, see what they can do against better competition. We have, of course, Georgia and Tennessee. But do you feel that way as well? It's just hard to get a feel on the SEC in this early going, and I feel like we're headed for what we've sort of been headed to the past couple of years with the Big Ten winning a national title. I know in the Big Ten what I'm looking at for the most part. Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, they look dominant. But I haven't seen that level of domination in the SEC against any particular competition.
Yeah, we are in for a blockbuster SEC Saturday. So you get Alabama at noon against Wisconsin. Okay, they should win that game pretty convincingly. If they don't, sound the alarm. Then you get Tennessee, Georgia. Huge game, just massive for both in the afternoon. But Saturday night, man, it's going to be like all four screens on my quad box will be SEC games. And that's one pretty rare that there's four games within a single conference that are worth watching at once. But they're all consequential in their own way. I mean, you got Arkansas, Ole Miss, Florida, LSU. Even Vanderbilt, South Carolina, I'm not ready to completely write off either of those teams. And whatever they could be, I don't know. Like, but if one of those teams is going to win that game, there's breaking news. But whoever wins that game, if they do it convincingly, like I'll be open to the idea that the winner of that game, if they look good enough, all right, maybe they're in the hunt to go 9-3 or 10-2. I know that's crazy to say that about Vanderbilt, but I mean, they outscored Virginia Tech 34-0 in the second half on the road the other day, right? So like, it might be a different sort of Vanderbilt than what we're used to. And then of course it's Texas A&M and Notre Dame. And to me, that one might be the most interesting because I really like what Marcel Reed is doing. He, to me, you know, you mentioned like these SEC teams that we don't know a whole lot about yet. Missouri, Auburn, Texas A&M, I think are perfect examples of that. And if Marcel Reed goes on the road into South Bend and leads Texas A&M to a win over a team that was in the national title game last year, we're starting to talk about him in the Heisman Trophy conversation. And we're going back to the hype train with Texas A&M as we've so often done over the last 7, 8, 9 years. And so that one is to me probably the most interesting of that blockbuster evening slate.
Yeah, and the Vanderbilt-South Carolina game is really interesting because they have a common opponent. Now, one team, of course, had the you know, check mark before the season. South Carolina, everybody with Lenora Sellers, you know, sort of tabbed them as a top 15 team. Vandy obviously doesn't have that same view. But I was more impressed, personally, and I'll get your opinion on this. I was more impressed with Vandy's whooping of Virginia Tech than South Carolina's in week one.
Yeah, there was no comparison. I mean, South Carolina kind of squeaked by. They had a punt return for a touchdown, and you know, it was an ugly win when South Carolina beat Virginia Tech. When Vanderbilt beat Virginia Tech, it was a convincing win. And I think the thing that was impressive about it is that they actually looked explosive offensively. Last season, it was a lot of, okay, Diego, put your head down, move the sticks, use your legs, get a concussion, and we'll go score a touchdown. You know, like against Virginia Tech the other day, it was, we're going to air it out. We're going to hit some explosives in the run game as well. And that's a new element, I think, to what they bring. Because before, it was just sort of, all right, we're going to exist on the margins, hang in some games, upset some people. But you know, we're also going to lose to Georgia State and just sort of hope to get bowl eligible. I think Vanderbilt's actually got a little bit of juice to them this year, and that's just a weird reality, but yeah, I think they have what it takes to go on the road and hang with and maybe even beat South Carolina. And I think that would put the SEC on notice. If Vanderbilt does that, then you can't look at last year as a fluke anymore. You have to really respect what they could be this season.
So Florida at 1-1, we talked about them getting upset by South Florida, the lack of discipline on that final drive, two 15-yard penalties, and then also not tackling or not letting Byron Brown score so he could get the ball back and potentially win the game. But they have LSU this week on the road, and it starts a four-game stretch where they're going to have LSU on the road, Miami on the road, Texas at home, A&M on the road. That's going to be their next four games. And I don't know if you're familiar. I'm sure you're familiar at this point. We do overreaction, not an overreaction, on the Gabe Kuhn Show to start it off on a Wednesday. And today we talked about it. Here was the prompt, and I want you to say overreaction, not an overreaction. Billy Napier is as good as fired. It's just a matter of when. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. And I would have said the exact same thing last season. Last season I turned out to be wrong, but this is it. I mean, it's curtains, man. We've seen enough. We know now. Billy Napier is not an elite coach. He's not the next great Florida head coach. He's not going to follow in the footsteps of Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer and lead that team to glory. It's done. The sample size is not small anymore. We're not waiting for DJ Lagway to get to campus anymore. He's done. And this schedule is going to only confirm that, because it is as brutal as any schedule in college football. And as you mentioned, man, it is only getting started. Everybody and their mother rode in 2-0. They're 1-1 now going into the rest of this slate. And it could get ugly starting Saturday night at LSU.
Yeah, and I need to ask you your opinion on this, because I see a lot of different lists, some from guys I really respect, some from, you know, basically Florida message boards. Who would you put in the on that short list to take over at Florida? Right? Like who would you put really, really high on that list? Hey, this is the guy you need to reach out to. I know Alex Golish has come up. I know with guys like that, when you're going into the group of six, you would look at Billy Napier and say, what's our hunger to do that again? But Alex Golish is a little different. He was at Tennessee as the offensive coordinator, so he's got the SEC footprint. He's in that state already, has recruited really well in that state, used the transfer portal really well. That could be something that Florida looks at. But what are the names that you really put into the coaching search if you're Scott Strickland?
On my short list would be Jed Fish at Washington. So he is a Florida grad, got his start as a student assistant under Steve Spurrier. He is a really good offensive coach. And to me, Florida is synonymous historically with elite offenses, great quarterbacks. That's Steve Spurrier, obviously, with his run. It's also Tim Tebow under Urban Meyer. When Florida's at its best, it's got great quarterback play, a great offensive mind in that head coaching chair. I think Jed Fish would be perfect. We'll see what he does with Washington this year. But let's just assume that Billy Napier gets fired, DJ Lagway transfers, Jed Fish can bring DeMond Williams with him. I think DeMond Williams is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this season, and he's only a true sophomore. So you could get two more years with that guy. We're putting the cart way ahead of the horse here, but you asked, and I've been thinking about it too. So I would have Jed Fish pretty high on that list for me. But I'm curious, like where are you going with it? Like, because I think you're the first one to the party. If you're the first one to fire your coach, there's an advantage there because then you sort of have your pick of the litter. So, like, you could potentially go a number of different ways with this. And I want to know, like, who do you think would be good for it?
Alex Golesh, of course. I think Jed Fish would make that list for me. A name that we talked about a little bit earlier that really hadn't crossed my mind that kind of makes sense because I think it would be an upgrade in job. Now, it's also an upgrade in expectation. But it's from the same conference. Eli Drinkwitz is one that has come up by multiple from multiple national reporters that kind of would make sense to me. You wouldn't be digging into the group of six route like you did with Billy Napier, and I know the fans probably don't want that again, but that may be ultimately where you have to go. But Eli Drinkwitz is a name that does intrigue me with that job opening. But I'm staying away. I'm telling you right now, I'm staying away from Lane Kiffin. He's had a chance to take that job, it feels like. I just don't see him moving away or getting out of Oxford anytime soon. But Eli Drinkwitz is a name, at least from that conference, that I think there could be some legs there.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. I mean, it's pretty rare that we see the SEC to SEC drop hop, but one of the last times it happened was Florida. I mean, Dan Mullen going from Mississippi State to Florida. So they've obviously gone down that road in the past. And boy, I think the results of the Dan Mullen era sure look nice now in retrospect, don't they? Here's the deal, though, with Eli Drinkwitz. The dichotomy in schedules that Missouri has faced versus what Florida has faced in the last couple of years are just so night and day different. I mean, Missouri's gotten the good side of the draw, has had the easiest schedule in the SEC. Florida's been the exact opposite, and it's had the toughest schedule in the SEC. So if you really stack them up side by side, I mean, I don't know that Eli Drinkwitz is a huge upgrade, but I mean, the results are there. He's won 21 games over the last 2 years and looks like he has a squad yet again. So, I mean, if he puts up three consecutive, you know, double-digit victory type of seasons, yeah, I mean, he could get in the mix. I mean, I've just never loved the guy. You know, I think he's goofy.
I think he's a dork,
but
sure.
Yeah, but he's been successful. I mean, you can't argue with that.
So, speaking of Dan Mullen, George turned my attention to this. Was it Adam Rittenberg?
Yeah, I believe so.
Adam Rittenberg at ESPN, friend of the show. Love Adam. But he put as sort of a dark horse out there candidate Dan Mullen in a return to Florida. When I say that, what's your reaction?
If I'm Dan Mullen, like, have some dignity. Even if Florida were to even if Florida tucks tail and says, "Oh man, we were so wrong," you can come back and have his job now, because the whole reason they fired him was because he couldn't recruit. Well, now you don't have to recruit because the money recruits for you. So if all you're being judged on is your tactician and schematic ability, then yeah, I mean, Dan Mullen's going to get another shot at a Power Four job, which is exactly why he should just laugh his way off of any overtures from Florida. I mean, Florida kicked him to the curb when he had actually done a decent job there. So no, I mean, I would, if I'm Dan Mullen, I hold out for something different, because he's got UNLV off to a nice little start there. They beat UCLA the other night. They're 3-0, you know, so they could be in the hunt in the Mountain West, and obviously we just saw Barry Odom use that job to jump to the Big Ten with Purdue. So I don't think you're misguided, or that Adam Rittenberg is misguided to suggest that Dan Mullen could go back to the P4 pretty soon. But man, no, I'd have some dignity and say Florida, heck no, you know.
Yeah. Final thing, I just want to sort of get your feeling here on a Wednesday. Arkansas, Ole Miss, that game. I know Ole Miss at home, 7-point favorites. Austin Simmons hasn't looked very good. And Taylen Green has looked good. Now, granted, it's an A&M school from the FCS and Arkansas State, and he threw two picks against Arkansas State. But he's looked really good through two games. How do you feel about that game? Like, do you see Ole Miss just handling business, nothing to see here, or does Arkansas have a real shot, in your opinion?
I think I see Ole Miss handling business. I'm with you, man. Taylen Green's great. He is so much better than the pieces that he has around him. He is capable, and I believe that at some point in this season, Arkansas will upset somebody. I mean, you know, last year it was Tennessee. They picked off Tennessee. They'll do something like that again this year. Don't know when, but they're going to have a multitude of opportunities coming up. Ole Miss, to me, is probably a little bit better defensively maybe than people realize, and you, when you think about the uptick in competition from playing Arkansas State to playing an SEC defense, I think they're going to be able to make life hard on Taylen Green and keep Arkansas from just completely, you know, going haywire offensively. And, you know, and then on the flip side, it, the same thing applies on the other side of football. I mean, Austin Simmons is not a finished product yet, but he's a whole lot better than anything that Arkansas has had to face so far. So, yeah, I mean, I think I see Ole Miss kind of pulling away in this thing and winning it by 10, 14, 7, something like that.
Okay, I hear you. Well, Dave, we'll talk again on Friday. I appreciate it.
Okay, man, sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. Now, we're going to venture away from college football for a moment, and we're going to take a trip around the National Football League next. So stick around for that right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's like the time to take a trip around the National Football League. Go ahead and hit it, George. I found this pretty interesting. Green Bay Packers extended their wide receiver, Christian Watson, first-round pick out of North Dakota State a few years back. He's on the PUP list, physically unable to perform, and he's going to be out until around midseason, maybe here relatively soon. They don't have a full indication of when he's going to be back. But he's amid an ACL rehab that has been relatively tough. But they gave him a one-year, $13.25 million extension. If you have paid attention to Christian Watson's career, when he's been on the field, he's been very effective. But he hadn't been on the field very much, right? He started 11 games his rookie year, had various soft tissue issues. 2023, the year after that, only played 9 games and had a season-ending injury. And then last year, of course, he had the ACL after game 15. He has caught for 1,653 yards and 14 touchdowns. $13.25 million is not some massive deal, so I think it sort of makes sense for the Packers to go this route. They believed in him enough to take him in a first, or I think early in the second round, something like that. But he's 6'4", 208. He is a damn good player when he's on the field. I was just surprised to see them, amid the ACL rehab, give him an extension. But $13.25 million, I don't
really
care.
Yeah, that's
tiny money. That's little money for a wide receiver.
Compared to the NFL cap, which we all know isn't real anyway.
Yes.
I mean,
it's not real.
It's not real.
It's not
real. It is not real.
This happened yesterday, but worth bringing up today. The NFL is fining Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter $57,222 for spitting on Dak Prescott. The league also says that the game he was ejected for will serve as a one-game suspension. Per Carter's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, after talking to the Eagles, the NFL, and the NFLPA, Jalen has decided not to appeal and focus on the Chiefs game. So the one game he got ejected for serves as his suspension, and the way they got to the $57,222 is a full game check. Must be nice. Damn. That is such a reality check.
Right.
Play one game, play, I don't know, 40, 50 snaps any given weekend. $57,222. That is... That's really nice.
Must be
nice.
That's
good work.
Must be nice.
That's good work if you can get it. Now, some people have taken exception to not getting an extra game on top of the one he got. I said then, and I'll say now, the idea of quote-unquote making an example of Jalen Carter never really meant anything to me, because I don't think there's a lot of NFL players that have it in their mind, because he only got the one game and got ejected, that they're going to go spit on every player they play now, and it's free game. So, like, the whole idea of making an example of him never really hit home with me. I don't know about you, though, George.
In a way, they kind of did.
He missed the whole game. He got suspended for a game. He never played.
They are counting that on his record as a one-game suspension. Up to this point, the precedent for that type of infraction has always been ejection from the game, right? And a supplemental fine.
Yes.
It is now a game suspension.
Yeah, but like, do you understand what I'm saying when people are saying make an example of him? I'm like,
he's not.
This is not like, I don't think people are saying because he didn't get an extra game that it's free game to go spit on your opponent.
No.
Like, I don't.
If anything, this is saying, hey, if you do this, you're going to get a full game one way or another.
Like, I can get making an example if you have off-the-field issues and you get in trouble with the law. Like, sure. Make an example of that. Domestic violence, if you even get accused. Like, make an example of those things. Spitting on another player, I just don't know if we need to make an example of that. I think people, I think most players pretty That's, well, it's pretty well established to not do that.
Yeah, I.
It's just, it was weird. Because I know you remember the reaction after
that game.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
People were losing their mind on Jalen Carter.
That was before our...
Yeah, I heard it on Unsportsmanlike. Like, our guy Chris Canty, who played in the National Football League, wanted him suspended for like 3 games. And I'm like, brother, it's a big deal. Don't spit on your opponent. But I don't know what that accomplishes, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he knows, and I think the rest of the NFL knows.
Hey, it's
don't
a no-go.
Spit on your opponent. I don't know. From Josina Anderson, who's an NFL insider. She's sort of working independently. Correct me if I'm wrong now at this point.
I think so.
She was with CBS for a while, and maybe she still does some work for CBS. But she reported that free agent edge rusher Jadeveon Clowney is in Dallas today to meet with the Cowboys. And based on all the reports I've seen following, he was in Dallas today to meet with the Cowboys.
Okay.
Here's my take. They need an edge rusher. They used to have one.
Shocking, I know.
So now they need one.
They certainly do.
It's kind of funny. They got some decent pressure on Jalen Hurts, but the one problem I had in that week one game is they couldn't get him on the ground.
Yeah.
Like Micah Parsons, yes, he's a good edge rusher. Yes, he wins, has a high pressure rate, but he will get to the quarterback, chase him down, get him on the ground.
He's a
finisher. He's done that with Jalen Hurts more times than one. So, like, that was the problem I had with the Cowboys. They got decent pressure, had a decent pressure rate, but they didn't really get the sacks that they needed. Jadeveon Clowney, I guess he's a name out there. He's got a lot of experience. He's had some up years. He's had some down years. He's old at this point. Don't know how much you can count on him really giving you a whole lot of production, but I guess it makes sense to bring him into the building, see if he's worth taking in.
I did see an update on that story.
Okay.
He was in Dallas. He did not sign a contract today with the Cowboys, but it is not something that's completely out of the question.
Yep.
So
there we go. We have a Jets fan in the studio for this.
Yes.
Shout out King George. New Jets head coach Aaron Glenn said this on Sunday following his team's week one loss, 34-32 to the Steelers. Go ahead and cue this up. There was one turnover in that game, and Jets fan, who committed that turnover?
That would be one Xavier Gibson.
Well, Aaron Glenn stuck to his word. Today, the Jets waived their wide receiver, punt returner, kick returner, Xavier Gibson. Gibson fumbled to start the fourth quarter on a kickoff. The Steelers scored a touchdown 2 plays later and took the lead. It in turn allowed the Steelers to score 14 unanswered points in a position where the Jets had the lead and could have had the ball and gone down and scored because they were playing really good offensively, really well offensively against a good defense and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this wasn't the first problem that Xavier Gibson has had since he's been in a Jets uniform. He just finally has a coach that's willing to hold him accountable. In his time with the Jets, 2 seasons and 1 game, the 1 game being last Sunday, he has 10 fumbles. And it's not like he's like an everyday wide receiver. He doesn't play wide receiver all that often. He's more of a special teams gadget guy. But 10 fumbles, I think, in 158 touches since he's been in a Jets uniform. Not good. Not good.
Yikes.
So needless to say, Aaron Glenn stuck to his word. Gibson waived today, no longer a Jet. How do you feel about it? Do you have any takes?
I mean, obviously, Xavier Gibson had the big moment. That would have been 2 seasons ago, opening night.
Punt return
for the touchdown for the game winner against the Bills.
Needed it because Zach Wilson was playing quarterback.
Oh, definitely needed that. But it is refreshing, in a way, to have a head coach that doesn't just say things. Like, it seems like things... There are actionables, and he actually takes care of them when he says he's going to.
He is very much, and this is what I think the Jets have needed for years and years and years. He's very much a culture coach.
Yep.
They've had a disgusting, despicable, terrible culture the past 2 years, and you could blame that on Aaron Rodgers all you want, but you have to have a coach that can hold somebody accountable even like Aaron Rodgers, and I think you're seeing that in live time right now with Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's a relationship you build, there's a relationship you forge, you come into a good culture, Aaron Rodgers can even stay the course and figure it out within that culture. I know it's just sort of a buzzword, but Aaron Glenn is creating a culture of accountability and trying to make them play the most mistake-free football possible. And it may not pop year one, but I have grown to like Aaron Glenn, even though I didn't originally like the hire when it was made. Oh, this is gross.
Is this kind of the opposite of the last one?
Yeah, this is the exact opposite of the last one. Are the Dolphins, after week one, like the joke of the league, right? 33-8 to Daniel Jones, to Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones put up 272 yards passing, two rushing touchdowns. Are they the joke at this point? Like, I've gotten to the point where I think they could be the worst team in the National Football League, even though they're not the least talented team in the National Football League. Tyreek Hill's going through legal troubles with domestic violence with his estranged wife. It feels like Tua and him have not fully mended that relationship. Mike McDaniel can't hold a soul accountable because he came in with this sort of funny, dorky, you know, type of aspect to him, and no one really respects him. And that goes for NFL teams outside of Miami and his players. And it's kind of funny, like, when you hear some of the people that cover the Dolphins and their opinions on Mike McDaniel, and they, you know, and sort of how they feel. When they were winning 10 games and they started hot a couple of years ago, all of his, like, funny
little antics,
they're fun. But when you see the team get their ass kicked 33-8, vibes have been horrible the entire offseason, they're starting to look at it and they're like, this is kind of wrong. This doesn't feel right. But regardless of all that, Mike McDaniel was asked about his tight end, Darren Waller, his availability for week two. If you'll remember, the Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers made a trade this offseason. It sent Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, and Jonnu Smith had 88 receptions for nearly 800 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. He was very good, a Pro Bowl tight end. But they traded those two guys to the Steelers, and in return they got Minkah Fitzpatrick. So they needed a tight end. They went and got Darren Waller off the street from his rap career. And Mike McDaniel spoke on Darren Waller's availability for week two. And he said, quote, "I expect to not know what to expect until later on this week." But then he went on to say this: "We may get to a point where we realize the risk is too great for the rest of the season, and we'll have to do what's best for the team." That sounds like, I don't expect Darren Waller to play a snap for us. And personally, this is me, I don't think you should have ever expected him to play a snap for you guys. He left the NFL because he was too hurt and he wasn't getting what he wanted with the Giants. And he takes 2 years off, and now he comes back off a rap career. He added a face tat. And I just don't necessarily – go look at it, George. You have a face.
Whoa.
He's got a face tat now. And you expect him to, like, step in to be the tight end he was with the Las Vegas Raiders his first couple of years? It was never a realistic
thing. Oh,
he's
got two
thing.
On there now.
He's got two face tats? I only saw the one.
One next to his eye and one on his forehead.
So he's got two face tats.
Wow.
But at this point, this is what their tight end room looks like behind Darren Waller. Julian Hill. Who?
That's a name.
And Tanner Connor.
That is also, can't do that one.
Tanner Connor.
Two first names. Can't do it.
Tanner Connor.
Yep.
Sounds like, I mean, that's two first names, and that's like two millennial Gen Z kids.
That's if the guy who normally sits here went out in the sun a little too long.
Those sound like Ole Miss Sigma Chi's, Tanner and Connor.
Oh, yeah, but those are two different people. Those aren't. If you took
that's
two
not
of
one
them,
name.
Two of them and fused them together.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Tanner Connor, 27-year-old, been in the league for a while out of Idaho State. To his name, let's see that. Let's see. Let's just make sure I have this correct. Stats to his name. In his career, he has 5 receptions for 36 yards.
Mm.
Don't expect him to really break through this year. Tanner or Connor.
Whichever
Tanner
one,
nor Connor.
Whichever one suits up for them, whether it's Tanner or Connor any given week.
Tanner, yeah. Connor, Ole Miss Sigma Chi, Russ Chairman.
He looks more like a Delta Psi. But
is that right?
I just looked a picture.
That'll do it for a trip around the National Football League. One more segment left in hour number 2.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. So in the day and age of social media, we have a bunch of teams that do their uniform reveals every week. If you follow Memphis football's like social media, every single week they have something different. And they do these before the game, do some of them in the offseason. They'll have them down on Beal in their full uniform. They'll have them eating barbecue. They'll have them out in a hunting, like looking like they're hunting. Last week they were in AutoZone Park, and it's like a big thing. Like they make a big sort of deal out of their uniform reveal. Well, there's one school in the country that does not make a big deal out of this, and that's Air Force football. Air Force football just takes their uniform and throws it down on whatever grass or turf is in front of them. This week, I'm not kidding you, they threw out, they're going to wear the all whites against Utah State coming up this weekend.
Very nice.
Nice uniform.
Great unis.
By Nike. Really cool. But they just threw it down on a bald patch of a football field next to a track and took a picture of it. Like, it's like, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know whether to have an appreciation for this because, like, social media, we do a little bit too much with uniform reveals. Or I don't know if I should be disgusted by this because you clearly have some level of budget that you could do with this. And the social media director's clearly just like, you know,
we got some for
I
you
have
guys.
To do this, so let me do this for you. They literally took their uniform down to the socks and the armbands and the gloves, threw it on a bald patch of grass, and took a picture.
Like, in a way, I kind of get where they're going for with this one. They're on the road. They're on the road, and it's next to like what looks like a street. But that doesn't mean you have to go throw your uniform down on the side of the road, the nearest street corner you can find with a little bit of grass under it, and just say, boom, here you go, guys.
Like, deep down, I have a bit of an appreciation. We go overboard with
the simplicity
too
is great.
Often, but it's too simple. It's far
There's
too simple. Like, there really is. There really is. I need to see some level of effort. Just some.
The effort this time, they folded the socks.
Yeah, they did. That'll do it for hour number two. Hour number three is on the way. We have some college football to look forward to with Colton Denning on the other side. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.